We're going to go back to the book of 2 Kings again for another episode from the life of Elisha, the prophet. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. It's where we begin our journey. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, bring thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. You know one of the main things I like about this story? I want to tell you. God performs a miracle here, all right. No doubt about that. But it's not to prove something doctrinally or to fulfill some eternal purpose affecting nations or kingdoms or great men and women. He performed a miracle to help a widow woman pay her debts. I love a God like that. I said, I love a God that loves widows and orphans. Amen. The psalmist said, when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I like that. Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. Jewish historian Josephus says that this woman was a widow of Obadiah, a high-ranking government official in Ahab's kingdom. Now, that's just speculation. We don't know that. But anyway, it's good to have a name with some of this stuff here. And whether it was or not, the fact remains there was a real person that did this real thing. Now, this woman had known wealth, but she had was now reduced to poverty. And that happens quite often, does it not? In James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, we read some telling words. Go to now, ye that say, Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Who knows what a day may bring forth? Thy servant, my husband, is dead. This tells me that her husband had been a friend of Elisha's. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm not trying to drum up business here. But I have observed through the years, God blesses preachers with friends. Now, there are a few enemies. But I tell you one thing for sure. I have had far way under more friends in the ministry than I have ever thought about having enemies. And I thank God for my friends. I thank God for my friends. Her husband had been a friend of Elisha. Yesterday, her husband was alive, healthy, and employed. Today, her husband is dead. The creditor is coming now to take her sons to be bondmen, which was all perfectly legal. Things did not look very good for her. Let me just say this. Some of you this morning may be at the end of your rope. You don't know what to do. You may be facing problems with your children, and you don't have a clue which way to turn. Your marriage may be on the rocks, and there seems to be no hope of saving it. There may be problems at the workplace. Rumors are going around. You fear for your job. There may be someone here that has buried a loved one. There is someone here that has buried a loved one. Just the other day, God bless you, Ruby. What a trooper you are. What a woman of God, and what a great guy Emory Jones, a friend of mine, was. But hopes, you know, seem to flee at times like this. Loneliness sets in, the grief, the pain, sometimes eat us alive, and we need somebody to help us. Others may be walking through a spiritual wasteland, and there seems to be no way out. You know, you can't put your finger on any specific sin, and yet something just isn't quite right between you and God. And it's driving you crazy. Friend, it seems to me that when we get to know God most intimately, it's when we are face to face with an impossibility. That's what it seems to be like to me. Let me tell you something about needs. A need exists to be met. Are you hearing me? I said a need exists to be met. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Say that with me. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. God does not take some kind of secret delight in tantalizing and intimidating us. God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. God is for us this morning. Remember that. Whatever you're going through, God is your friend. He's on your side. He's for you, not against you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What can we learn from this story in the Old Testament, took place about 3,000 years ago, that in any way applies to current world conditions? 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Now, I want to tell you something about God, and about God meeting the needs. A lot of the time, God's provision comes to us through something that is familiar to us, something close at hand, something in the house. In this case, it was a little oil flask, a very common household item. I want you to put yourself in this woman's shoes. Her husband is dead. They didn't know anything about life insurance in those days. No government program existed where she could apply for help. Her two sons were her only hope of survival. They would have to work and support mother. But her two sons were not either able to work or they could not find work. And the debt could not be paid. So the person who had made the loan comes and is going to take the sons for bondmen, which is the way they did things back in those days. Now, this is her situation. The creditors come in and they search her house, can find nothing of value, a few ragged clothes, a piece or two of broken furniture, and a little vase containing a splash or two of perfume oil, certainly nothing worth repossessing. Now, something is interesting here, and I don't want to miss it. If you remember, Elijah was instrumental in a miracle concerning a widow and a little oil and an empty meal barrel. But in Elijah's case, in this situation, this was not cooking oil. Let's remember that. What this widow had in her house was a little Estee Lauder, or whatever it was called back in those days, or whatever brand her husband may have bought her for a birthday present when times were better. But she'd used all of that up except maybe a little dash or two to brighten up her day. One anointing of her person is what the commentaries say. Then Elisha, knowing this, knowing what she had, did the most outrageous thing you ever heard of. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 tells us about it. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Go borrow empty vessels. Now, if I'm in her situation, I wouldn't mind borrowing, but I'd want to borrow full vessels. Thank you. I don't need a bunch of empty cans sitting around. I'd go borrow something of substance. But Elisha says, you go borrow empty vessels and don't borrow just a few of them. That took some doing. Let me tell you, it did. Can you imagine this? Someone knocks at the door and the lady of the house opens the door. Ma'am, my mother wanted me to ask if we could borrow some empty containers from you, something we might keep for a while. Well, what would they say if their neighbor asked, what do you need them for? What would you say? Oh, the preacher is going to pray over them, and they're going to be filled with Chanel number 5. You know something? They would laugh her out, those boys out of town. Those neighbors would. That was the risk she was willing to take. I do not suggest that we totally lose our minds, because God does use sane, rational people. But sometimes God just gets plumb, absolutely, teetotally ridiculous at some of the stuff he does. And the main thing about it is, he makes it work. I heard of an evangelist one time that there was someone came forward for prayer, and the Holy Spirit, don't try this at home, but the Holy Spirit impressed heavily upon him, yes, it's going to heal this woman, but for her point of faith, I want you to tell her when she gets home from church tonight to go out in the backyard, and I want her to drive a stob in the ground all the way in. And I'm going to heal her when she drives it all the way in. Now, I'm not going to tell you to do that. But she went home that night feeling rather sheepish and sneaked out without anybody seeing her with a hammer in her hand and found a stob. And she drove it into the ground, and when the last lick hit and the thing was in the ground, the power of the Holy Ghost came on her, and she was instantly, miraculously healed. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. The risk. 2 Kings 4 and 4. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Now my question is this: why were they told to shut the door? I'd like to suggest a possible answer to. First of all, just because he's God and does things his way and not man's way. That's the first thing we need to realize. He's God. And I want you to know that our God today is not looking at this world scene and sitting somewhere wringing his hands and chewing one package of Rolaids after the other. He is not saying, flop, flop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is, and take an Alka-Seltzer. God is not worried about what is taking place on planet Earth. He's not worried about what's going on in my life or your life. He is God, sovereign, supreme, almighty. He's big enough to do what he wants to do. Hallelujah. Just because he's God, he does it his way. Now, maybe God didn't want to waste this miracle on those who would scoff at such a ridiculous idea. Oh, one of my favorite stories is where he turned the water into wine. When they brought that wine back and it was tasting better than anything they'd ever drank before. Scripture, John includes a little line there that nobody else would have put in there except John the disciple. He said, nobody knew where this wine had come from, but the servants which drew the water knew. There's some things, you get close enough to God, he'll let you know that others don't have a clue what's going on. Somebody needs to say praise the Lord. That's good. The servants which drew the water knew. Hallelujah. Now, of course, many miracles Jesus performed so clearly visible that they couldn't possibly be missed. But others, many others, involved only the Lord and the recipient of grace. In Matthew 9, he opened the eyes of two blind men and told them, see that no man know it. In the 12th chapter of Matthew, he healed multitudes that thronged him and charged them that they should not make him known. After he was transfigured, multitudes saw him go up the mountain. After he was transfigured and Moses and Elijah appeared with him on the mountain, he told his disciples, tell this vision to no man until after the resurrection. You go to the book of Mark chapter 1, Jesus healed a leper. Then he gave them strict orders that no one was to know what had taken place in that room. Mark chapter 7, he healed a deaf mute. Charge them that they tell no man. I believe that he told this widow woman to shut the door because this was a private matter between her and her God. And he would not allow others to scoff at what he had done for this woman. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Praise God. All wish that I went to the next town and started borrowing vessels. Yeah. Let me tell you this about God. God giving himself as long as we bring that into which he can pour himself. Did you hear what I just said? God will keep giving of himself to us as long as we bring that into which he can pour himself. God doesn't stop giving until we stop bringing. Every once in a while someone will say to me, oh, Pastor, pray for me that I'll have a closer walk with God. Well, get up off the seat of your pants and start walking. Nobody's got a franchise on walking with God. You don't have to be an Einstein to walk with God. Just hunger for him. Love him. Get up thinking about him in the morning. Let the first thing comes out of your mouth in the morning, let it be a praise to his name. Read the book. Honor him in your speech during the day. Talk of all his wondrous works. Meditate on him. I don't have time to meditate. You got time to watch March/April Madness. You got time to watch as the stomach turns. As the world turns, I'm sorry. We got time for what we want. We do what we want to do, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to ask somebody to pray for you that you'll have a closer walk with God. just get up and start walking. Oh, this is good, Brother Hatfield. I thought so too. Get up and start walking. Hallelujah. God is on the giving hand, ladies and gentlemen. And I've got some real good news for you. The day we're living in, the Spirit is being poured out afresh and anew. There is a new wind blowing, ladies and gentlemen. There are hearts that are hungry for God now. There are people reaching out to the Lord now in ways that they have not done in a long, long time. And the Spirit is moving. And God will move wherever He is allowed to move. If we ever get the bright idea that we can do this without Him, He will let us try it. But we can't do it without Him. And I don't want to try doing it without Him. I want Him to keep giving of Himself. And I want to keep giving of myself to Him so that He will pour out into my life. She poured and she poured and she poured. She said, "Is there not another vessel?" They said, "Oh, this is it." And the oil stayed. It stopped flowing because the need of that hour had been met. But I can tell you this, friend. When it comes to the power and the glory and the oil of the Holy Ghost, there's no stopping Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love to get a blessing on Sunday. Oh, and thank God for it. And I thank God I go to a church where that opportunity presents itself. I mean, if you just walk in here and you're halfway hungry for something from God, He'll feed you. If you just reach out to Him a little bit, it'll be amazing what He'll do in your life. Thank God for the presence of the Lord in this place. But that Sunday, can I tell you something? Monday's coming. And the people I meet on Sunday, well, the people on Monday that I meet sometimes aren't near as excited about God as I am. They aren't near as excited. They're not nearly as prone to try to edify me as the people around me on a Sunday. Have you found it to be that way? I have. And somehow or another, I start needing a blessing along about 2 o'clock on Monday. And there's a good thing about this. You don't have to be in church to get a blessing. You can have church wherever you are. I'd suggest that you don't need to be walking right past somebody in a hospital corridor or on your way to the bank. Don't walk by somebody that's got a weak heart when you start having church. I made the mistake one day in Tahlequah. I was walking down the street and the Holy Ghost came and I started praying in tongues and praising God in tongues. Forgot where I was. I was on my way to the bank, actually. And I was praying in the Spirit, and I was not praying under my breath. And there were people walking past me as I finally realized what was going on and looked around. And I was being observed rather closely. You can have church anywhere. You can love God anywhere. You can praise and bless His name anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. He is accessible. He is available. He makes Himself available to us. His oil does not stay. Is there not another vessel, they said? Let me tell you this. We might come to the end of our capacity to receive, but God never comes to the end of His capacity to give. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 4 and 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." There was enough to satisfy the creditor with plenty left over. Now, none of us know what's going to take place in the days to come as far as world economy is concerned. doesn't look real good, to be honest with you. The stuff they're doing, the worthless paper they're printing. Used to be we dealt in millions, and then it went to billions, and now it's trillions of red ink. They're already crying for a one world currency. That is just around the corner. The person who gets a hold of this, the person who comes on the scene is called Antichrist. That will give him a leverage that is unbelievable. I pray, and I hope that I have interpreted the scriptures correctly. I won't have to go through that, because I believe the church is going to leave out of here when he that hinders is taken out of the way, 2 Thessalonians 2. Then shall that wicked be revealed, the son of perdition, who exalts himself above all that is called God, so that he sits his temple, showing himself and others that he is God. Luke chapter 21, pray ye the Lord that you be worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. We call it the rapture of the church, the catching away of the bride of Christ. That's what we call it. I don't know what may happen between now and then. Neither do you. I believe the Holy Spirit led me to preach on this today, just to let you know, in case you might have forgotten, that your God is big enough to take care of you. I said, your God is big enough to take care of you. Kids, your God is big enough to make a way where there seems to be no way. Moms and dads, wage earners, you that are bringing home the bacon, God is able to help you find another hog. Amen. God knows where the bacon is. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm encouraged. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today that God knows how. Go sell oil, pay thy debt. Live thou and thy children of the rest. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. He knows. Enough to satisfy the creditor with plenty left over. Let me tell you this. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Where the arms of God cannot support you, and where the riches of God cannot supply your needs, and where the power of God cannot endow you. The will of God will never take you where the Spirit of God cannot work through you, where the wisdom of God cannot teach you, where the army of God cannot protect you, where the hands of God cannot mold you. The will of God will never take you where the love of God cannot enfold you, where the mercies of God cannot sustain you, where the peace of God cannot calm your fears, and where the authority of God cannot overrule for you. The will of God will never take you where the comfort of God cannot dry your tears, where the word of God cannot feed you, where the miracles of God cannot be done for you, and where the omnipresence of God cannot find you. Hallelujah. 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 I'm here to tell you, folks, God is Almighty God. He knows how. He knows how to take care of what belongs to Him. When I was about probably, 11, 12, somewhere along in there, guess is about how old I was at that time. We always had it close, but we always had something to eat. And I think this particular time, we had just about run out of everything there was in the house to eat. And my mother, if you'd have known her, you'd have loved her. She prayed. I tell you what, there have been many nights I've come in when I knew I was supposed to have been an hour before, and I thought, well, Mother will be asleep. Nah. I came into the house to the sound of Mother praying, oh, God, save my boys. God, don't let my boys go to hell. That's rough. But my mother prayed about everything. And she said, Larry, let's pray. God can supply us something to eat. Let's pray. So we prayed. If you ever prayed when the ice box is empty, and there wasn't a piece of bread anywhere? Have you ever prayed when there wasn't a prayer of a chance that anything good was going to happen? Well, we were praying, and that's how it was. I remember it was warm weather, and we had an old screen door on our front porch. And I heard somebody walking up on that old board porch, and I heard him rattle that screen door. And it was my next door neighbor, Miss Fitz. Mother went to the door, noticed that Miss Fitz had a sack in her hand, good size sack. Said, Miss Hatfield, we were just defrosting our deep freeze. I just wondering if you and Larry could you use some steak? Now, I got to tell you, I was 12 years old, and up until that point in my life, I thought a stake was something that you drove in the ground. I had no clue that a stake was something you might eat. We rejoiced, and we blessed the Lord, and we praised God because God knew where we were, and God knew our needs. And God knows where you are and where you'll be next week and next week and next week. And the week after that, He'll know where you are. And He's able to find you and love you and meet your needs. I want to challenge you to get in this book and find out what this thing says. It's God's story. It's His lessons for us. It's His guidance book for us. It's the owner's manual. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what this is. Familiarize yourself with it. Commit it to memory. As much as you can possibly commit to memory. Because everything you need to know. Robert Fulghum wrote a book that said everything you need to know about life. He said, I learned it in kindergarten. That was the title of his book. Everything I need to know about life, I learned in kindergarten. Well, I'm glad he did, because I didn't learn it all in kindergarten. I've needed a few lessons along the way. And here's the answer book. You know what? Isn't it neat? God provided an answer book. He provided it before I ever had a question. Yeah, man. Praise God. I want to close with this. Donald Gray Barnhouse. An old evangelical preacher used to tell a story about a pastor's wife that had a promise box from which she drew a Bible verse every morning. Congregation was small. It was during the war. Times were hard. One time in particular, things were desperate. No food in the house. Children were hungry. The pastor's wife went to her room and shut the door and began sobbing. She cried out of the deepest part of her inmost being. She cried out. And she said, oh God. Oh God. She looked up and saw the little promise box that sat on the top of the vanity. She said, oh God. Is there a promise for me today in this horrible set of circumstances that I'm in? Is there a promise there? Her hands were shaking. uncontrollably as she reached for the box and she knocked it over. And promises flew everywhere. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit, that supreme, glorious moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to her heart and said, "Daughter, my promises are everywhere. And they are all yours." Hallelujah. "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable?